Well, I've just got back from Scotland and had a wonderful time. Went to see St. Andrew's Cathedral, which sounded like a good idea. And we agreed the family would all meet, you know, in the coffee shop. Until we got to St. Andrew's Cathedral and realised it was a complete ruin. It doesn't have walls, let alone a roof. And it never seemed to have recovered from the time when John Knox preached an anti-papal sermon. And the congregation apparently went out from church and started attacking the cathedral and, you know, ripping things off it. And it just went into decay after that. Sermons don't have the power that they once had, clearly, do they really? One of the hardest places that we ever speak as ministers, I think, is schools. You go into a school to speak to children, aren't horrible teenagers, you know, and they don't want to be there any more than you want to be there. You know, they don't want to listen to you any more than you want to speak. And so you kind of do things to try and make it more understandable. Either a wonderful talk, which some of you will perhaps remember because I did it here a long time ago, where you put three eggs on top of three toilet rolls. And the toilet rolls stand on a tray. And underneath the tray are three pint glasses, exactly beneath the eggs. And then you smash the tray. And the tray goes flying across the room with a big clanging sound. And all the children go, see the tray go flying. And of course, then they think, what's happened to the eggs? They suddenly zoom back to the eggs. The eggs have dropped into the glasses. And that's the theory anyway. It's occasionally it goes wrong, and that's even better. But it normally works. The problem is with the little talk is that the children like it. In fact, the teachers like it. I did it at Brickell Lower School last year, and they said, "Hold on, we need to go and get the camera." You know, it's they like it a lot, and that's okay. But the problem is, they then want you to go back and do another sort of talk, and you have to keep thinking up these wonderful kind of illustrations. But the other problem with it is that the children remember the trick, and they say, Can you come and do the egg trick? And you say, well, actually, it was meant to just be an illustration. The idea is it illustrates that there's gravity, and the gravity causes the eggs to fall down, and we can't see gravity, but without gravity, everything just falls apart. But they just see the trick. And you might as well just be a sort of a magician going around doing children's parties. It's meant to be an illustration of an important spiritual truth, but the medium takes over from the message. Does that make sense? And in a way, that's exactly what happens with Jesus. Because in John's Gospel, and over the last few weeks, we've been talking about Jesus, the bread of life. And you remember that Jesus multiplied the loaves, and he fed everybody. And that was meant to be a sign to who Jesus was and what he was doing. And John's Gospel uses this phrase, it was a sign. This was the next sign that Jesus did. But of course, people got hung up upon the sign and forgot what it was pointing towards, as Jesus as the living bread, and they wanted bread. and that's a real problem, because they started following all around and chasing around the lake, if you remember, and saying, come on, Jesus, give us bread. And you can understand it. You know, these were poor, hungry people, and he healed folks, so they wanted healing. And you could understand people desperately wanting these physical things. Of course, Jesus couldn't feed everybody, didn't feed everybody, didn't heal everybody. These were meant to be signs as to the kind of person that he was. He wasn't out there to provide for them materialistically. He was trying to point them towards who he was and what God was doing in the world through him. It's not surprising, but it's a really difficult thing. So what we have today in this passage from John's Gospel is Jesus trying to shake people with some verbally very shocking words. Very shocking words. Because Jesus talks about people eating his flesh and drinking his blood. Today, we sort of anaesthetize those words because we think of the bread and the wine. And we think, oh, Jesus means eating the bread, drinking the wine of communion. And there is a sense in which that is true. But remember, when these people heard these words that Jesus was saying, the Last Supper hadn't happened. There was no context for them to understand these words other than Jesus saying, eat my flesh and drink my blood. And it's quite interesting listening to the commentaries on this text. They all see it in Eucharistic terms. But the people who heard it could only understand Jesus saying that he wanted them to drink his blood. And if you remember, it was a really bad thing at the time to drink blood. It was a really, really bad thing. When Noah came out of the ark, and God was setting up this new order of things, one of the first things he said was, do not drink the blood of an animal. It was in the Mosaic law in Leviticus, you must not drink blood. The whole kosher stuff was to make sure there was no blood left in the animal. Now, I hate the concept of kosher, doesn't appeal to us at all. But behind it lay this idea of draining the animal of the blood, so the blood was gone, because it was thought that somehow life was in the blood. Life was in the blood. And today, you still have this understanding in Jehovah's Witnesses who won't have a blood transfusion because they're trying to be faithful to what they understand as the scriptural reasoning behind this life in the blood. So when Jesus says, drink my blood, it is absolutely and utterly abhorrent to the people who were there. And what he's doing is he's giving them a real shake. And he's saying, look, you're following me around for bread. But I am the bread of life. You know, I can give you bread, but you're still going to be hungry. I can give you material things, but it's not going to answer your deepest needs. And Jesus talks about, look, your forefathers ate manna in the desert, but they still all died. And what I'm trying to give you is something more important than that. It's eternal life. So I can't just give you bread, physical bread. I need to give you a more important spiritual substance. So Jesus is using this metaphorical language to express a really important spiritual truth. And you see this a lot in John. You see Jesus saying, I'll give you living water, or you need to be born again. And there's a way of understanding that which is purely literal, you know, born again. What does that mean? But you can then understand it on a spiritual level, which Jesus is speaking about. And this happens a lot through John's gospel. Now, at the time, people listening to him, I'm sure they didn't think that, you know, Jesus was literally offering himself up as a meal. But it would have shocked them into trying to understand what he really did mean. I'm sure Nicodemus didn't really mean, didn't really think, well, I've got to be born again. You know, he knew you couldn't be born again. So it encouraged him to try and think through what Jesus was saying. And the same thing is going on here, but in a really shocking and, in a sense, a frightening way. Now, Jesus gives us this meal, bread and wine, because he knows that physical things can help us to understand spiritual truths. So this is a really important way of understanding eating Christ and drinking his blood. But what does it really mean? Because to eat Christ's flesh and drink his blood isn't something that we just do at the altar rail. Jesus is talking about entering into a commitment with him in which he abides in us and we in him through a depth of commitment. And he's trying to encourage these people who are listening to him to enter into that depth of commitment. And flesh and blood is the totality of what Christ is. That's a way of describing everything of him. And that's what we're encouraged to today. So as we come and we take the bread and the wine, symbols of Christ's body and his blood, as we take those symbols, we commit ourselves to follow in his ways, to listen to his teachings, to know what it means to truly serve him. And this is a message which we go out to share with others. Because we live in a world which is very materialistic, which wants just bread and things. But there is a real hunger amongst all people. Because every physical life has a spiritual soul which needs feeding. People need to know that they're loved, that they're cared for, that they're accepted. And where do we find, where do people who are starving for love find unconditional love? They find that with the God who made them the way that they are. Where do people find true acceptance? With the God who made them who they are. So this is an important message for us, and it's an important message which we share. And we take this message today as we take the bread and the wine into our hearts, and we share it with others. Amen.